Students with a broad range of abilities and challenges learn together in public school these days. The days of segregation into so-called special classes, feel free to use quote fingers, are generally behind us. But students with some kinds of disabilities are occasionally excluded from their classrooms, at least for periods of time. And the group Disability Rights Oregon says the problem needs to be fixed, now through legal action. Disability Rights Oregon filed a federal lawsuit this year to stop students from having their school days shortened. Let's get into the story and the specifics. Joel Greenberg is staff attorney at Disability Rights Oregon and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Joel, welcome.
Morning, Jeff.
So the issue here is children with disabilities not getting a full school day. Give us an example, if you would.
Well, I can give you one example of a parent I talked to in the last few days. Her son has autism. He experiences autism and has difficulties understanding social conventions and cues and how to deal with other people. He's unable to make friends, and he's frustrated at school, although he's academically very much up to speed. Because he's frustrated at school and does well on his academic work but seems to be unable to make friends and so forth, he has behaviors that occasionally disturb the classroom and things like that. And the school district's response, because they have not done some of the basic steps that he needs to learn the skills that would allow him to make friends and better work in a classroom situation, has instead decided to shorten his school day. So what happens is that this boy who needs to learn specific skills about how to get along with other people and converse with them in a normal fashion is instead spending much of his day at home. The problem got so bad that his mom eventually pulled him out of school and was able to get her insurance to pay to put him in a private school where he got the services he needs. And he is now able to attend a full day of school. He's happy to go to school, and he's learning to make friends and learning the academic skills he needs to be a successful adult.
So, Joel, is that story a rare one, or are there dozens? Are there hundreds? Do you have an idea of the scale across the state of Oregon?
Well, I'll answer that in two ways. It's rare in the sense that his parents had the resources to be able to put him into the kind of school he needed. That's unusual, particularly amongst the folks who I'm dealing with, who often are very financially strained because they lose their jobs and so forth while trying to deal with the children who are home for a school day, or much of it. And the other way I would answer it is that, aside from what I just mentioned, it's not rare at all. There are at least hundreds of children who are affected by shortened school days on any given year. And the trend has been steady, if not increasing, over the last 5 or 6 years.
Is the shortened school day used as a last resort, or do you think that the school districts are going to it earlier in the list of options?
Well, it certainly should be a last resort because it doesn't work. It doesn't help the child, and it actually doesn't help his classmates or teachers other than removing the child from the school, which is not a good solution for anyone.
And I want to be clear, they are removed from the school. It's not like they get private tutoring elsewhere within the school.
Well, typically what will happen is a school district will say, your son John is having a difficult time. Why don't we try shortening his school day so that he attends for 2 hours a day instead of six and see if that helps his behavior? Parents, whether they object or not, usually give in to this request because the district is saying this is temporary and maybe it will work. Not surprisingly, it doesn't work. And John can end up out of school for 4 hours a day for a year or sometimes even 2 years. So it's simply, it's offered as a technique, but it's not one that works. And school districts do go to this extreme measure far too early before they've done some more basic things that children who have behavioral difficulties need.
Joel, you mentioned earlier that in the example you gave that the school district hadn't gone through some of the basic steps to teach the boy child social skills. The students are supposed to get IEPs, individual education plans, to spell out their needs and how the school will respond, aren't they?
They are, and this child and many of the ones I'm talking about do have IEPs, but they're often of very low quality, and they're put together in a process that really puts parents at a disadvantage. And this mom that I was describing was unable to resist, although she did object from time to time. She was unable to convince the IEP team that this was destructive for her son and made her life difficult as well and was not good for his classmates and teachers either.
So have the parents, some of the parents that you represent, or Disability Rights Oregon, on behalf of the kids, worked with the districts for remedies?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
In other words, have you tried to work this out with the districts before going to court?
Oh, absolutely. I've been working on this issue for well over 5 years, and I've represented many children, as have my colleagues at Disability Rights Oregon. And we're often able to solve or at least improve individual situations to get kids back into full school days or longer ones and with better IEPs. The problem is that there are so many children who are affected by this practice, is I guess what I would call it, that we can't help them all. We can't represent them individually and push on the problem in a systemic way. So a lawsuit was absolutely our last resort and something we didn't want to enter into and didn't do lightly, but we felt like there was no other choice after more than 5 years of pushing hard on this issue and trying to convince the state of Oregon that it needs to help the school districts who feel like they have no other remedy other than to push kids out of school.
Joel Greenberg is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, staff attorney at Disability Rights Oregon, which has been working to not get school days shortened for students with disabilities. You heard the case of a child with autism who has been sent home with a two-hour school day when he could be getting 6 hours of education. It has resulted in a federal lawsuit. Your questions, comments, welcome on this issue and the suit, 800-838-3760, by phone on the exchange, by email jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned working with the Oregon Department of Education as well as with the districts, and no particular satisfaction there, I gather.
Well, to be fair, the Oregon Department of Education has done some useful things, although not without a lot of prodding and not quickly. They did produce a guidance that encouraged school districts to do other things before they resort to shortened school days. They also, helped Disability Rights Oregon and other stakeholders pass a somewhat helpful statute, a state law, that makes it more difficult for school districts to go to shortened school days. They have to provide notice and inform parents of their rights to object and so forth. But neither of those measures has really changed the problem in a significant way as far as we can tell.
So, Joel, was there a last straw that sent you to court?
I don't think there was a last straw, unless you could call that the continued large volume of more and more serious cases in which children simply are not attending school for much, if not all, of their school day because their behavior problems are not being addressed well by districts.
All right, so the situation wasn't changing. This is a federal case against the Oregon Department of Education, Colt Gill as the head of the Department of Education, and Kate Brown as governor. Why a federal case?
Well, it's a federal case because the basic special education law, in addition to two other laws that are based on discrimination protections, are federal laws. So this issue is best addressed in federal court.
And what do you ask for? I mean, what do you seek if the case is successful?
Well, at this point, although I have my own ideas about remedies, we think the best thing would be to hire some experts, one or more experts, who would look at the entire ODE system and what it's failed to do to address this problem and put together a broad and comprehensive set of measures and changes in how ODE conducts its business so that we would be assured that the children I'm talking about get the help they need, that the teachers and administrators who work at the schools, particularly in rural and small districts, where they don't have the expertise necessary to help these children get the help that they need.
I can imagine some of the responses to what you're asking for here, you know, like the position that the needs of one student who has a behavioral challenge should not outweigh the needs of the rest of the students to learn in a calm classroom. Where do you come out? What's the response to that?
Where I come out is I agree completely with that idea. We're not asking for the needs of one child to outweigh the needs of the other classmates. In fact, when children that I'm talking about are not getting the help they need, and when the teachers that would like to help them are not getting the support that they need, the individual clients who I'm talking about and their classmates all suffer. There are disruptions in the class. There's frustration amongst the staff. You're talking about situations that are not healthy for anyone. And what we're hoping to do with this federal lawsuit is bring about some remedies that help the children I'm talking about and their classmates who have a better and more healthy environment and learn about other kinds of children, and the teachers and staff members who are frustrated very frequently by the fact that they're in a classroom where they need more support and more direct and technical assistance from the Oregon Department of Education and learning how to deal better with these students. In the rare cases where they might have to be in a different kind of classroom, that's another kind of solution, but it's hard to imagine a set of circumstances in which it would make sense to remove a child from school for 4 or 5 hours a day and expect that child to learn anything and to become a successful adult.
So it sounds like one of the remedies could be certainly more people in the classroom, more aides to provide individualized attention to some of the students who are represented by the suit?
That would be one possible contributor to a better outcome for these children. But what might be more important would be expert additional people. So if you're talking about classroom aides, better trained ones, if you're talking about additional teachers, perhaps, but it might be more important to have teachers trained in behavioral techniques that would actually help these children and help them actually teach better in their classrooms with children who don't have disabilities. So we're looking for a set of remedies or some kinds of changes in practices and support that would help not only the children I'm talking about, but again, their classmates, their teachers, and the staff who work with them. And that might require outside experts to be brought in difficult situations.
Joel Greenberg, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, staff attorney at Disability Rights Oregon, which filed suit against the Oregon Department of Education. Colt Gill, in his capacity as director of the Oregon Department of Education, and Kate Brown as the governor of Oregon. You're obviously not working in a vacuum here. I mean, since the case was filed in January, the legislature passed a tax measure to bring more money into schools. Do you have any hope that money will address what you're talking about here directly?
I certainly have hopes that some portion of that money will go directly to solving this problem. Because it's not just a problem for the children who suffer from shortened school days. In some senses, it's a canary in the mine that's indicating there are other problems in the schools where districts, either by choice or because they feel like they have no choice, have chosen to shorten their school days rather than address their behavioral and academic needs.
So, Joel, the case was filed in January, oral arguments heard on July 10th. Is that fast for a federal court?
It's probably about average in that the oral hearing was a very preliminary phase in what was likely to be a long and complex litigation.
All right, so that was not the actual trial portion. That was just the chance to find out what the case is about and decide what the disposition is going forward?
Technically, it was an oral hearing to address the state's motion to dismiss the case for lack of standing and some other issues.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten a ruling yet. We're very hopeful that the judge will not dismiss our case. But yes, as you suggested, this is an early step in what's a long process.
And that is a fairly typical response from anybody who's the recipient of a lawsuit, is to move for dismissal outright at the beginning, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. What sense did you get, if any, Joel, from the questions from the judge about possible disposition moving forward?
Well, we were very encouraged, although the judge asked, in fact, very few questions. She did say at the end of oral argument that she was somewhat surprised that the sides hadn't gotten together to discuss a possible settlement, and that she thought, given the size and seriousness of the problem that was alleged in our complaint, and her belief that the Oregon Department of Education is sincere in its hope to serve all children better than it currently is, that it would be better to spend the resources that might go to litigation on actually trying to solve the problem. She encouraged both sides to sit down. She suggested that there were mediators that might be helpful in the process, and even named three of them off the top of her head at the hearing. So we saw that as a very positive sign and are eager to meet with the Oregon Department of Education if and when they would like to sit down and discuss possible settlement agreements.
But is DOE and Disability Rights Oregon both waiting to hear what the judge's ruling is?
I can't really know what ODE is thinking about, whether they need to wait for that ruling first. And I can't speak for all of the co-counsel in our case, but I can tell you that I personally would be happy to sit down with ODE at any time to discuss a reasonable settlement.
All righty. Well, we will see what happens down the road here with this lawsuit filed by Disability Rights Oregon and other plaintiffs against the Oregon Department of Education, the superintendent, and the governor over students getting their school days shortened because their disabilities create behavioral problems in classrooms. We will come back to the story again in the future, I am confident. Joel Greenberg, staff attorney at Disability Rights Oregon, thank you for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks very much. I was glad to speak with you.
All right. Take care.